Welcome to the E-Commerce Lab by eComsy. This is the place for everything related to Amazon private label and e-commerce. Learn exactly what you need to start or scale your business. Get insights from the top industry experts who will discuss the latest trends and best practices in the world of Amazon. From choosing products and sourcing from a supplier to setting up your Amazon account and marketing your business, you will hear it here. Let's get started. Here is your host, Vincenzo Toscano.
Hello guys, welcome to another episode of the E-Commerce Lab by eComsy, the place where it relates to Amazon FBA, private label, and e-commerce. My name is Vincenzo Toscano, founder and CEO of eComsy, and today we bring you another special guest. His name is Peter Lewis, and he's the founder and CEO of Strategy Pit, where they offer fractional CMO strategies to help you have a sustainable growth and operation efficiency. So the reason why I wanted to bring Peter today, actually before going live, we're having this discussion about, you know, there's a lot of people out there that they want to invest money into e-commerce, but they don't really have a clue about what is really e-commerce about, you know, or even Amazon. And we want to talk about that topic because I feel this is something that, especially as people discover the, you know, the beauty of having an online business more and more, it's very important to consider what some of the, you know, the pros and the cons and the considerations that you have to keep in mind. And I think all of the things I want to bring to the conversation as well, which Peter and I agree, is like community. Community is super, super important. And I feel having a discussion around that is also going to be giving you a lot of insight about how you can leverage that for your business. And the final thing is like how you actually stop having the mindset that Amazon is the only solution out there. Like, you really need to have an omni-channel approach. And I really want to bring that to the table to pretty much showcase, you know, what are some of the other options that can help you scale your e-commerce business forward. So, Peter, pleasure to have you on board. How you doing, my friend?
Wonderful. Excited to see where this e-com chat takes us.
Yes, I think it's going to be a very engaging conversation. I think, you know, all the topics that I just mentioned are usually things that, you know, really is across a lot of entrepreneurs' mind. You know, it's like, how do I actually navigate all these things? And I feel having a genuine conversation, like really, you know, what are my thoughts? What are your thoughts? How we actually tackle this together is going to provide a lot of insight. So, Peter, before we go into the topic, just give us a brief, you know, background yourself. You have such an amazing CV. You have done so many great things. So tell us who is Peter and let's go from there.
Yeah, I'll do the professional one first, a little bit more superficial, and then I'll do the personal abbreviated one that actually matters. So professionally speaking, I'm a fractional CMO. That means people who can't afford a full-time chief marketing officer or don't know if they need one, they can rent one for 5 to 10 hours a week. And you don't have to pay for that full-on salary. So I'm brought in when CEOs have too much data or don't know what to do with their data from marketing. They don't know how to turn that data into revenue or growth. You know, I work with a lot of different people. So you find this exact same problem everywhere. Vincenzo, I do this for the travel industry. I do this for SaaS. I do this for media. Nice. I currently live inside of a zoo and do strategy for the zoo. And I work with banks, which zoos and banks have a lot more in common than you think. And then my personal story is I'm from Kansas, spent half of my life in South America where I met my wife. I have an 8-year-old son who is bilingual, lived in Chile. Nice. He has a U.S. passport, Chilean passport. And as I mentioned, we live inside of a zoo. So our family we speak Spanish inside of a zoo in the middle of the United States.
Wow, man, what a background. Like, you're such a dynamic person. And I love that. Usually that allows you to, you know, first of all, always be thinking outside of the box. And I think that's what a good CMO has to do, especially when you deal with marketing. It's all about how you come up with a fresh idea that really can make things pop up. And I'm sure with all these things you just briefly mentioned and what we're going to discuss next, we're going to bring so much value to our audience today. So talking about the topics I just briefly mentioned, I think the first one I want to bring to the table is the e-commerce side of things, like buying e-commerce businesses. We're having this conversation, as I just said before going live, that you've been encountering and having this dynamic with a lot of your clients of people, you know, buying a business, right? And you already have gone through a couple of deals and you really have understood, you know, what are the things that people should be doing? What are the things that people should be doing? And also, what are some of the, I feel, assumptions sometimes people think buying an e-commerce business bring up? Because let's be honest, one of the quick ones that comes to my mind is people think buying an e-commerce business is just plug and play and go to the beach and make millions, which we know is not the case.
Autopilot.
So tell me a little bit about what has been your experience so far, and share some of the insights, you know?
Yeah, so I currently work as head of growth for one of my clients, a very important client called WebStreet. WebStreet.co is a micro private equity company that only buys online businesses. So WebStreet takes investments from accredited investors, $50,000, $100,000, $200,000. They do it a fund about every 2 or 3 months. They gather up $3 to $6 million, and then they go out and buy anywhere from 2 to 10 assets. And WebStreet for the last 3 years has acquired more than 45 online businesses. Wow. And I think the number right now is 14 Amazon FBAs. And we purchase SaaS, we purchase agency, we purchase content. And kind of that sweet spot as working for marketing them, I talk to a lot of people who think that they want to buy an online business or a D2C or an e-com. And the reason they end up coming to us is because they either bought something and realized it's not plug and play, and they actually bought themselves a job, or they bought themselves a job that they're completely incompetent at, or they heard from some friend who bought a company. So they come and they're like, hey, we want you to run the business. So that's what WebStreet does. We get portfolio managers who run the businesses, and then we exit those at 4 years. And marketing and I help make the translation of people who don't understand what online businesses is, explain why there's an amazing upside. And then obviously we look at a lot of deals, right? If we purchase 45 deals and we've raised more than $5 million, we've seen thousands of deals in the last 3 years.
Of course. Yeah, I think something I want to take your insight about is effectively you as an entrepreneur or as an investor, if you're looking to get into e-commerce, like, what are some of the things you should be looking into effectively the business you want to buy? Because let's be honest, when it comes to e-commerce, there's so much diversity, right? You can go down so many different categories, business models, and sometimes it can be overwhelming to really figure out what can be the best essentially return for your investment, right? So I guess what I'm trying to ask is, like, how, as a person that don't really understand e-commerce, you start defining that avatar effectively? What is the right kind of e-commerce business for you, right?
Yeah, so the way that we look at it at WebStreet, and thank goodness, you know, I've started working with them as a client before I ever considered buying my own online business, is we look at only profitable companies that could be more efficient if they were run by us and our portfolio managers. So there's a sweet spot for us where we have a portfolio manager who wants to work with us. Oftentimes they want to work with us because they don't want to deal with investors, or they can't afford something at $2 million or $3 million. Or we offer so much deal flow and due diligence that they prefer just to be great at what they're great at. Okay. And 1 second, for some reason, my screen turned off. Can you still see me?
Yes. Yes. I think it went green. That's fine. Just try it. Okay. If you can search it, and then we just connect it, and we'll take your time.
What if it got unplugged or something? Huh.
Maybe it got overheated. Sometimes it's overheated or things like that sometimes happens to me.
Let's see if that's it. There we go.
It works out.
Oh, I know what it was. It was an update. It's trying to get me to update software. All right.
So you're talking about effectively businesses that are profitable and that you feel that with your expertise and your systems, you can essentially scale them further. Yeah.
Yeah, perfect. So our sweet spot is we line up a portfolio manager that we trust and that we've known for 5 or 10 years from all the conventions we go to. And I think you and I are going to talk about communities afterwards. The majority of these portfolio managers we've known for a decade, and we know what their sweet spot is and what they are great at. And then we go find a profitable online business that would be improved, you know, 2x, 3x, 7x, whatever that is, with that sweet spot. That's where we are. And luckily, I have that in, you know, that knowledge in my head, so I didn't go out and make a mistake, but that's the Web Street secret sauce.
Awesome. And I guess something that I get this question a lot is sometimes investors, and maybe you have encountered this already, might make a purchase not only based on the profitability, but also based on a strategic, right? So what I mean by this is maybe you already have, let's say, a supplement brand, and you have a competitor that sells similar supplements, so supplements that complement yours, and you might end up buying not for the sake of only focusing on the profit. It's because you want to expand your reach as a brand, essentially create more exposure on the market. Is that something you also see a lot in your daily operation?
We're seeing that right now. We made an offer on a SaaS company about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and the competing offer, I think, was 10x our offer. It's because the buyer was a strategic buyer, right? We couldn't make a counter offer of that. And this exact same thing, we are currently we have an asset that is on the marketplace right now with a broker, and the person who's looking at it would be a strategic buyer, and there's no one's going to be able to compete. So I'm glad you brought that up. I often don't think about that, because, you know, there's a bit of luck, there's a little bit of finding the right person, but it is legit, and in the last month I've seen it twice.
Yes, of course. And now, I guess, from the operational side of things, so we can then start moving into the other topics. Like, when people buy, you know, these e-commerce businesses, the reality is that an e-commerce business has so many moving parts, right? You need to understand logistics, you have to understand marketing, you have to understand how to do you know, the branding. So there's so many moving parts, and let's be honest, most people is not good at all of them, or at a level that is required to really keep scaling a brand. So I guess what I'm trying to get with this is, like, do you feel most people, when they buy this kind of business, do they really need to in advance prepare a team, or hire an agency, or hire some type of you know, support? Because I see that mistake a lot, and that's where unfortunately a lot of brands went downwards. People thought that it was only plug and play, as we just said at the beginning of the episode, that, oh, I just can buy a brand that's doing very well on Amazon, I just pretty much keep buying inventory, and then it's autopilot, I have nothing else to do because it's already making revenue. What is your take on that?
So it's funny you say that, because we are in the process of buying agencies right now. So you talked about, like, do you hire an agency? Yeah. I specifically have an acquaintance who is in a community called Dynamite Circle. Mm-hmm. And this gentleman buys agencies from Latin America. So he's buying agencies that are a two-man team, a five-man team, or a 10-man team. And he's buying them when his clients need that type of service. So maybe they might not be able to speak English, or they might not know how to do sales in the United States. And he's just picking up these agencies. And he's making this, you know, this huge, huge agency who solves all these problems. Back to your point, like, if you're a one man show, or you're buying your first type of business, you know, like, I would be nervous about that. So the Amazon portfolio managers that we work with, or e-com portfolio managers, they already stay in their lane. Like, in English, we say, you know, stay in your space, stay in your lane. Those people are only picking up things that they know how to be more efficient. If there's something small, whether it be, you know, demos or reviews or ads or, you know, websites or something like that, of course they'll outsource that, but they try to make sure that the added value, I started to think in English, the valor agregado.
Yes, that happens to me. I have Italian as well, so imagine more difficult.
the added value there is they try to make sure that it's majority speaking their team.
Awesome, cool. Now, I guess when people is going throughout this phase of buying an Amazon business, you know, communities are super, super important because, let's be honest, being an entrepreneur and having an e-commerce business sometimes can be a lonely road, right? You're always behind your laptop, just at home. You sometimes don't have anybody to share your wins, your losses. And, you know, if you don't really find support in peers that share the same kind of passion for the kind of business model and have similar mindset, it can be tough, right? So I guess I want to hear your take on that, because I know you're so big in communities. I also do. I do go to a lot of events, and I think that's one of the reasons I'm being, you know, keeping up the consistency of work I put out there. So yeah, what is your experience with communities? What are some of your takes on that?
Yeah, I'm not a person who tends to have really strong opinions about things that don't matter. And at the end of the day, communities don't matter at the end of life, right? Like my parents, my son, my wife, who I am as a human being matters a lot. But I have a strong opinion about communities, even if it doesn't matter who you are as a human being. There's so much value in them, right? So, you know, I've met business partners in communities. I travel 3 to 4 months out of the year with my wife or for work, going to conventions and communities. I'll name drop a couple of them, and then you and maybe and I can go into like how to make best use of the communities. But I mentioned it previously, my favorite community that I belong to is Dynamite Circle, and they have the podcast Tropical MBA. Go check it out. This community gets together at least twice a year, often in Mexico and then in Bangkok, and they get together for a 4 or 5 day conference. Most people go for 2 to 3 weeks. Most people are digital nomads, and they get together and just share tips all day long. It's a paid community. Yeah. I don't know what the cost is right now. It might be $500 a year, $1,000 a year, but those communities are people where you're not doing sales. You know, it's not a free Facebook group where everyone's just trying to DM you and scrape lists and so forth. And you know, that's where, you know, there's goofy things that happen in these communities about like, hey, does anyone have a copywriter freelancer you can share with me? Or, hey, how do I do this pricing? How do I handle, you know, I've just been flagged or blacklisted for spam email. Who can help me get out of this? And people are just helping each other nonstop. Another one of my favorite communities is Rhodium, R-H-O-D-I-U-M. I'm going to a conference on Monday in Las Vegas for 5 days. And that's a lot of people in the e-com space that are buying and selling. And these are big players. And I just learned so much more from people that they might not be older than me. They might be younger than me.
Yes.
But I feel like that they are more evolved than I am as a business owner. And I get so much from them. These people are like open books, right? They open up their blueprint to you and show you what to do. What are some of your favorite communities? And how do you get involved with them so that it's a win-win relationship?
Yeah, I mean, for me, to be honest, a community I love is there's Kevin King, which is very well known in the Amazon space. A $1 billion summit. So that's one of the communities, you know, I actually have learned a lot. Actually, four months ago, we went to Hawaii together as a mastermind, and we shared a whole week together. And the reason why I wanted to bring this forward as an example is during that week, it was a period where everybody was so open about the business, but beyond their business, about their losses. And I think that's actually the most important thing of a community, because I feel you actually learn more from the mistakes other people do than the actual wins. Because when people do mistakes, your brain essentially try to reverse engineer. Okay, because he did this and that, it led to that kind of result, which was bad for their business. Let's make sure I don't take the same steps, right? And that by itself can buy you so much time. Imagine now you understanding which route is going to take you pretty much down the hill. Now you know which one is going to take you to top of the mountain. It's a huge advantage. So yeah, I'm a huge supporter for communities as well. In fact, people say, I don't know why you travel so much and network with so many people, but the reality is, if I haven't done it, I wouldn't be where I am. So
I love it. I have a follow-up question for you around the win-win, and I'll preface it by telling you how I do it, and I'm interested in your take on how I can improve it. So right now at Strategic Peak, we are getting ready to disengage from a very large client. And it's been like a 9-month creating a funnel, creating case studies, building out, you know, their ICP and targeting them and so forth. And that means we're going to have some free time from the team to fill up the pipeline. And I just told, you know, my right-hand woman, I said, the very first thing that we're going to do, we've been out of communities for the last 9 months. What we're going to do is you and I are going to log into our communities every single day, Monday through Friday for an hour. And all we're going to do is go in and help everybody ask questions in the time that we've been away. And we're going to give them a couple hours of free service to audit them or help them build out their services. I always find the best way to find great community members is by offering help first. Do you have any takes on that, or do you have a nuanced way that you do it as well?
Yeah, I feel the same. For me, when I got started in the industry, I remember that's one of the things that helped me so much. I remember being on pretty much every single Facebook group and community WhatsApp group. And something that helped me a lot is I was usually the guy that was helping people asking questions, or I was the one making a lot of questions. And throughout that repetition, what allows me to do, first of all, is learn very fast, because usually mistakes that people encounter are mistakes that all people encounter. So that allowed me to build my database in terms of understanding how to troubleshoot things that happen while running a business. But on top of that, by giving so much to the community, my name started to become known, because, oh, Vincenzo is always the guy that is, you know, answering to questions. The guy always, you know, jumping on a call without any kind of a second thought of trying to pitch you something. It's there to really connect you with the right strategy partner. So by giving that, like, I feel over time, then things started coming back to me, because people was actually grateful that during the difficult times I was there for them. And to some extent, like, that, even if sometimes not always come back to you, trust me, in the long term, that definitely is going to bring an impact to your business, because everything is a reciprocal behavior, right? Whatever you put out there in the universe is going to come back to you. And I'm a strong believer that if you do good, good is going to come back to you. So yeah.
Nice. You know, like, get talking about being good, one of an example, I went to an SEO conference in Vietnam in April, and I went to a workshop, and it's a community around SEO by a brilliant SEO guy named Mads Singer. And I went to a workshop around YouTube, and I met, I think, I'm sorry, Milan, I'm gonna get your nationality wrong, but I think you're Dutch. So a cool Dutch guy who gave a YouTube conference. And since then, he and I've been in touch, and he just gave me an hour of his time earlier today and just gave me a bunch of advice. And I met him at a conference very briefly. And then I just went on LinkedIn, and I know that he can take some more pipelines. So I just posted today, hey, this is the best person you should be following on YouTube. So, like, you got to feel comfortable. I think there's two things that are hard for people, Vincenzo, around communities. If you want to, and the word is not growth hack, but if you want to make the most amount of your time in communities, two things. You need to feel comfortable asking, which is the example you just said. You got to feel comfortable asking, and which means when you're asking, it means you don't know, which makes you look ignorant, which means sometimes you failed. That's why you're asking. So yep. Vulnerability. And then the second thing is you need to be really comfortable shouting people out and telling them when they're great, right? Like, people, not only from a human point of view, they want to hear that they're doing a great job, because it matters if they're giving their time, but fill up their pipeline, right? Give them some business. They've been helping you.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Now, to start jumping to, you know, the last topic, I think, you know, the Amazon bubble, I think, is something I want to bring forward, because as I say, people might think Amazon is the only way to really have a successful e-commerce business. And I'm sure you have seen that there are many ways, like, you know, having your own Shopify website or having other marketplaces that could be a better way to really tap into the right audience for your brands. So what is your take on that as well? Because I feel the days of only relying on single channels are becoming tougher and tougher, especially with competition, saturation, and so on. So I'm a huge believer that you have to really go omni-channel these days to really scale to the next level. So I wanna see if you actually share that point as well. And if so, what are some of the things you have learned throughout the journey of doing that?
Yeah, I don't know if I can speak perfectly to your audience around what channel you would want to move to, but I think there's a couple iterations of the question that I can speak to, which is, I work with a lot of brick and mortar companies before COVID. So this was before they realized they had to embrace digitalization, right? They had to embrace e-com as a channel to increase their revenue. And then kind of the secondary item is, as a fractional CMO, I work with people across different industries, right? I work with a zoo, I work with banks, and I worked with enterprise SaaS and now private equity, four different examples. I find, and this is probably similar to what you're saying, is people become hyper specialist in one area.
Yes.
And especially if you're dependent on one platform, you can easily be disrupted. And myself, the very first company that I ever created back in the early 2000s was in the travel industry. Now, luckily, this not happened to me. I was highly dependent upon TripAdvisor. I was earlier than anyone else to TripAdvisor. I was number one in TripAdvisor for 10 years. And luckily, I never really got knocked off. But looking back on it now as a 44-year-old, man, you know, I should have never been dependent upon one thing now. So when I work with clients, whether it be high-end commercial painters or zoos, I'm always telling them they need to diversify across different platforms on how they're bringing in their revenue, because you can get knocked off. Right, you just can't depend upon one person. And I see that in cross industries, right? Like the banking. Look, think about how banking was disrupted when COVID hit.
Yes.
Right, everyone goes into a bank in 2019. Small community banks. It's a relationship based. Well, if you weren't ready for digitalization, you were just completely slapped in the face. So, yeah. I didn't answer your question exactly because I'm not an Amazon expert, but I can tell you as a person who
works with a lot of people, I think it did actually very well. And the reason why I love the answer you gave me is because you pretty much support a huge kind of thought that I always put out there that, you know, I come from an engineering background. For us, like, having single point of failures is the worst thing you can have in a system. That means you have one thing that can go wrong and the whole thing pretty much goes wrong. And effectively what you're describing is just that, like, you as an e-commerce business, if Amazon's the only point of single failure, if Amazon goes down, which happens, suspension, listing gets taken down, trademark infringement, so many things, like, what is your backup, right? And I feel at the end of the day, as a brand, what really makes a brand is that the brand itself is what really creates the exposure of people wanted to buy you. And then Amazon, Shopify, Walmart are only channels. They're actually not the foundation of the business itself, right? But yeah, I think I love the example you get, right? Because it effectively highlights my thought as well. Like, you can't have one channel, like, you, otherwise it's very risky. Yeah.
I have a follow-up question for you around kind of learning from other industries. What do you think are other industries that your audience, your e-com audience, your Amazon friends should be looking at to learn lessons from?
I would say other industries that people should really start putting a lot of thought into is social commerce. I feel the way we're shopping online is shifting very fast, especially with the younger generation, that they're shifting more from going to a website and marketplace to shopping in social media, which is where they spend most of the time. So you really need to understand, first of all, the marketing behind, like the TikToks, the Instagrams of the world, and really understand how I can make my brand appealing to those masses, like, that are spending so many times on this platform, and how I can make it also as seamless as possible, when only people can shop me on TikTok and Instagram and so on, but my brand can, once it creates that snowball effect, can then be scaled into our channels. Because the reason why I see so many brands failing on Amazon is they only play the Amazon game and they don't embrace, like, social commerce. And I have seen so many brands coming from TikTok and Instagram that now they're jumping on Amazon, and over 30-60 days period, sometimes they knock some of the top sellers in Amazon. Why? Because now they bring these huge masses that some of the people is purely Amazon don't have, and given the Amazon highly rewards external traffic, you're going to lose the war, right? So embracing, social commerce, this external presence, I think as Amazon seller specifically, it's definitely going to be a game changer.
I have one other question. I'm sorry that the interview turned on.
No,
you.
I love it.
Like, I'm talking to the expert. So as I don't think I shared this in my intro, but you and I know this before we started recording, I come from traditional media in TV. So I have a TV show in Latin America with 4 seasons. I have a documentary that I just produced and hosted. And so I'm a big believer in anything I do as a fractional CMO needs to include a component of storytelling. That's not too far from branding. It's a cousin. It's a stepsister of a stepdaughter of branding. Where do you see storytelling in the e-com space, and who are, how do you see it working? At what stage should it come in at after you, you know, validated your product, your platform, your pricing? Where do you see storytelling help you build your margins and your revenue, obviously?
Yeah, I mean, that for the brand, that some of the brand, the most successful brands that we have on our portfolio are exactly driven by a story, right? We have, for example, a brand that is in the supplement space, right? And the whole story is about how this person developed this supplement, because essentially they were fighting cancer. And given the fact that they went to this routine of using these supplements X, Y, and Z, now they're able to have a healthier lifestyle, and now they share how this has changed their life 360, how this has allowed them now to spend time with their family, with friends. And that really resonates with a lot of people that are going through that condition, but it's heavily connected to a story. So you can put yourself in the shoes of that person and live the path of that a founder, right? And I think when you really go through that as a brand, it destroys any other competition that maybe is cheaper than you, nicer packaging. Like, sometimes people don't care about that. They care about the emotional connection they feel when they have the product in their hands, and they know that whatever the founder went through, they're actually also going through, and they know potentially they're gonna now have the lifestyle they've been dreaming of, right? So yeah, I think storytelling is super powerful, and if you really know how to embrace it and put it into marketing, you're gonna kill it.
Love it. Thanks for sharing.
Yeah. Awesome, Peter. I think, to be honest, this podcast was super engaging. I wasn't expecting this dynamic back and forth, and I love it, by the way. So maybe gonna start doing that more often. But you know, I'm pretty sure people might want to have more in-depth conversations with you, because you have so much experience when it comes to marketing, and maybe they want to have a more understanding of how you can help them. So how people can find you?
Yeah, please. The easiest way is go find me on LinkedIn, Peter Murphy Lewis. That's Murphy like Eddie Murphy, M-U-R-P-H-Y. I think I am the only Peter Murphy Lewis on LinkedIn.
I thought he was your family.
And yeah, and when you find it, you'll know it's me by my banner and so forth. If you're interested in my services or you know my story, go check out strategicpete.com. As I shared, you know, I like to give back. So if there's anything that I can help you with, storytelling or some type of marketing audit, reach out. You know, if you're a friend of the e-commerce lab and Vincenzo, you're a friend of mine, and I'd be happy to jump on a phone call and help you in any way.
Awesome, Peter. So thank you so much for your time and your knowledge. And it's been a pleasure, and I can't wait to see you soon. Yeah.
Talk to you soon, bud.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to The E-Commerce Lab by eComsy. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. While you are at it, we would appreciate it if you could leave an honest rating and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. That will make it easier for others to find out about the show and benefit from it. Want more? Visit our website at www.ecomsy.com, where you can get your first consultation for free. Or find us on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn at ecomsy.